temple. I wanna bring you praise, like David and his temple plans. Your ways are not my ways. You don't need me to build a temple to know that you love me still. Whoa. Like Israel on the shore, all I see is crashing waves. But like Israel on the shore, through the wild you make a way. I will go where you go, I will stay where you stay. Cause I don't wanna go if you're not going before me. I don't wanna go if you're not going before me. I don't wanna go if you're not going before me. I don't wanna go if you're not going before me. Like Moses in the desert, I wanna see the land. Like Moses in the desert, I can't fully see your plan. Still your love doesn't stop when I see the land from a mountaintop. Ooh. Like Peter on the hill, I wanna make place. Like Peter on the hill, before your transfigured face, I will go where you go, I will stay where you stay. Ooh. Yeah, cause I don't wanna go if you're not going before me. Call or you won't leave. I wanna love like like you love, wanna bleed like you bleed. Oh,
So you guys as a congregation, you guys need to talk to our staff because there is money on the table that I will cry or not. So you need to talk to them about their betting problems. seniors, if you wouldn't mind coming up to the stage and standing up here, Aubrey's going to give you a gift and we're going to have a little talk and I'm going to try not to cry.
Thanks.
Yeah. Got the box.
Oh, man. I already spilled communion juice all over my white shoes, so it's a good day. So, Maddie, Lily, Sarah, Aaron, Joseph, and Garrett. I knew you guys could clean up well, but after going to camp with you for a couple of years, I've seen you all after a couple of days of not showering. This is night and day from that, so I'm really proud of you guys. You look good. I know some of you had prom last night, so I'm glad you're awake. Glad to see you here. This is a big moment for you and your parents. And I want you and your parents to stop and take this in. I want you to take a breath in and out. Because friends, you did it. Since you were 6 years old, this is the moment you have been working towards. All of the classes you hated, the sports you were only slightly good at, all the pacer tests, the not-so-good cafeteria food, all the stress, the happiness, the memories, it's over. And that can be terrifying. And to that, I would say, good, it should be scary. But you made it. You're here. Take this moment in because you won't get it again. Parents, I want you to take this moment in as well, because you did it. Your child, who you still remember as the baby in those photos, has made it to the transition that you have been working towards since they were born. Everything that you've done, good and bad, has led to this moment. All the great times and hard times, by the grace of God, stand before you in the form of a human being who loves you more than you know. As a man without children yet, I have no idea how this feels. But I can imagine that it's overwhelming. So parents, stop and take this moment in as well. You've done well, and we as a church congratulate you. Seniors, your friends and family, and most importantly, your parents, have been watching from the side, seeing you grow into the beautiful human beings that stand before me today. I know how hard you've worked because I've been standing there on the sidelines with them for the last 4 years. I've seen you go from a smelly freshman with a high voice to a slightly more sophisticated senior who figured out what deodorant is. But more importantly, I've had the opportunity to watch you grow into the authentic faith of your own. I'm praying that Embassy has helped lead you to a faith that is not your parents' faith. And I know that you have a relationship with Jesus because I've personally seen you walking alongside him. And I know that every one of you on this stage will be a kingdom worker on this side of Eden. And I am so stoked to see what God does through you. And this is a transition that has to seem terrifying. I remember standing where you were and having no idea what I was going to do after high school. Maybe you're wondering, what college am I going to go to? Maybe you're asking yourself, what decision am I going to make right now that has the power to change the entire course of my life? All while trying to figure out how to cook something else other than ramen noodles. But here's the thing. See, in our post-Christian culture, 75% of students leave the church in their early 20s. But I am praying praying this morning that I'm looking at the 25% who stick around. And I understand that this transition into adulthood might seem scary. You might feel like you're not enough, or you feel like you don't know enough or have enough money, or you're scared because you really didn't pay attention to how your mom did laundry to be able to do it on your own. But let me tell you, as long as you keep Christ, I lost the bet. As long as you keep Christ at the center of your life, things will make sense eventually. Thank you. You will learn that you're not enough. But Christ is enough. And because he's manifesting himself in you through the Holy Spirit, you are enough. You are enough because Christ is enough. You learn that you don't need to know everything. That there's a body of Christ who can teach you the things that you need to know, like how to do your laundry and pay your taxes, and more importantly, leads you towards a closer relationship with Christ. And as most of you leave this body called WAC, I can only hope and pray that your years as a student at Washington Avenue have equipped you to be an apprentice of Jesus. I hope that you can look back a couple of years from now and remember the impact that your small group leaders made on your life as they gave up multiple hours a week to hang out with you. And to be honest, I know that you probably won't remember a single sermon or a single Sunday school lesson that I preached, and honestly, I don't really care about that. But I do hope you remember how much we love you, how much this church absolutely adores each and every one of you. We see the potential in you, and we can't wait to see what you do with it. See, this isn't a job for Ab and I. This is our calling. And if there's a feeling I want you to have when you think back to your time at WAC, I hope you remember feeling seen and loved. I hope you remember feelings of this Spirit tugging on your heart to be closer to God the Father. So friends, as we move to this next season of life, know that the barrier of teacher and student no longer separate us. This is the moment, the transition, where I no longer see you as my student, but as my peer, as young men and young women, whom I respect and I can't wait to learn from because you've already taught me so much. I can't wait to see what you're going to do next, and I want you to know that you will always have a place here at WAC. Just because you might leave Amarillo doesn't mean that you can't still call this church home. Now, you know this, but we call embassy, embassy, because of 2 Corinthians 5:20, which says, we are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. The embassy is where ambassadors come together, where they are equipped to go out and represent who their allegiance is. So as we close this moment, I want to charge you to go and spread the gospel. Go and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Stay connected to the Father. Rest in his presence. Read until your eyes hurt. And pray until your brain hurts. And then go and be an ambassador for Christ. We love you. You guys can go sit down and I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for these groups, this group of kids. They've taught me so much. I'm just so thankful to see them as they transition into this new stage of life. God, we're so thankful for the parents who make church a priority and bring them every week. And we're just so glad that we got the chance to know them. We're so excited to see what they're going to do next. God, we just pray that they're always looking to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Jake. And you can leave that dollar on my desk. I don't think I'll need it, but just in case, I'll set it right there. Well, welcome to Graduation Sunday. My child arrived just the other day. He came into the world in the usual way, but there were planes to catch, bills to pay. He learned to walk while I was away. And he was talking before I knew it. And as he grew, he said, I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man on the moon. When you're coming home, Dad, I don't know when, but we'll get together then. Yeah. You know we'll have a good time then. These are the words of that famous, the beginning words of the song Cats in the Cradle, a modern classic, a classic that is almost 50 years old now, where that most of us know that song. Anybody not know the song Cats in the Cradle? Okay, I was figuring that a few. Jake, he never knows anything that we know, yeah. Well, when the service is over, just listen to the song that will be being played. This is a song written by Harry Chapin. It was actually written by he and his wife, Sandy. His wife had written a poem that was inspired by the relationship she saw between her ex-husband and his dad. And it was not a good one. Well, Harry then took the words of that poem, changed a few, added music to it, and it became a hit song. In fact, why anybody knows who Harry Chapin is primarily is because of this song, Cats in the Cradle. But what an impact that song has made. Others have remade it and sang it and sent it out. Not only did it reach the top charts in the United States, but in places like Australia, New Zealand, and Finland, and Sweden, and the UK. Cats in the Cradle reminds us of the importance of being there when it comes to parenting. And that's where it begins, when it comes to parenting, is being there. But let's face it. Parenting is hard, but so is growing up. In the middle of this message series that we've been going through in the book of Ephesians, we've been trekking through a part where Paul is fleshing out a few examples of submitting to one another. And he gives three different illustrations. Chapter 5, verse 21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he gives the illustration of wives submitting to husbands, children, obey your parents. Slaves, obey your masters. And then he gives the response of husbands, here's how you treat your wife. Parents, fathers, don't do this with your children. Masters, here is how you treat your slave. He's giving that, and we're in the middle of that, and today we're in this second section. Now, Jim, over the last couple of weeks, as he dealt with husbands and wives, used the analogy of a dance. And today, I'm going to piggyback on that analogy a little bit. And as many of you know, I'm the daddy of four girls. And so I'm calling this the daddy-daughter dance. I remember those days, having little girls when they would... I didn't bet anybody, but I remember having those days when the little girls would dance on my feet and we would kind of walk around and I would kind of dance with them a little bit, sometimes sweep them up, pick them up because they were little and we would twirl around. My version of the dip, you know, whatever it looked like. And I also remember the dances when they were more like this, when I had to give them away to some guy that didn't deserve them. Sorry, Mark Schaefer. His son married one of my girls. Today, what we're going to be talking about is a dance that involves us as parents and them as kids, as they and as we navigate this life together. My grandma, my mom's mom, used to say, when your kids are little, they step on your toes. And when they're big... step on your hearts. The dance, this dance that we dance together as parents and children, we'll have toes and hearts stepped on along the way. But with God's help, maybe more toes and less hearts will be stepped on. So I'm going to pick up and we're going to read out of Ephesians, and we're going to be in chapter 6. There's four verses from that I'm going to read, verses 1 to 4. I'm also going to read also from Colossians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21, because what Paul does in the church at Colossae is what he does in the church at Ephesus. He gives the same three illustrations, only he does so in a little bit more succinct way. Chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And then in Colossians chapter 3, 20 and 21, he says, children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Fathers, do not exasperate your children so that they will not lose heart. As Paul does this, I'm going to do it. As he started with the children, so am I. I'm going to start with the small, and I'm going to move to the tall. In this part, when we're talking about children this morning, I'm going to be talking to four different groups of people in that. First is the group of children that are actually still in the home. The second group is those who are kind of transitioning. This being Grad Sunday is kind of fitting for that, but those who are transitioning out of the home and on their own, and that's kind of a transition phase and period there. The third is those who've been out of the house for quite a while. You've been out of your parents' house for some time, but you still fit in this. And the fourth is basically all of us, because as we talk about this, we will find out that it is very analogous, if that's the word, of our relationship with us as being children to God our Father. He says this to the children, obey your parents in the Lord. There is an expectation for children, they ought to obey their parents. It's just an expectation we all have as we're growing up and as we see it. We know kids ought to obey their parents. Parents know more than kids. Kids, as they're growing up, they need to learn that. They need to do those things. It's just a basic thing that Paul says. And in this idea of submitting to one another, it really does kind of begin here. It begins in the home as children are growing up. And those of you that are still at home in the house, it's not you are to obey them on those things that you like when they do a rule that you've got that is pleasing to you. But as he says to the church at Colossae, in everything, obey them in everything, which is tough sometimes. We don't always like it. But then he gives us the why. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. It's the right thing. It's not just a good thing to do. It is a good thing, but it's the right thing to do. Learning to obey mom and dad is just the beginning. Our children, our grandchildren, should learn to obey and respect those in the authority, and it begins in the home. Too often we try to reason with that two-year-old. You try to reason with a two-year-old? They don't always reason so well. What they need to do is just learn to trust and obey mom and dad. Eventually, they'll start to learn the whys along the way. But they need to learn to trust and obey the authority that's over them, because later they're going to need it when they are out in other places where there's authority over them, in schools and jobs. But he goes on in verse 2 and he says this, honor your father and mother. Now, honor your father and mother. We recognize that as being a part of what? Ten Commandments. Yeah. Everybody kind of remembers, oh yeah, that's part of the Ten Commandments. Bonus. Do you remember which number it is? Yeah. I don't know which one it is, but I'm just thinking it could be one of the numbers between 1 and 10. But I don't, It doesn't matter what order necessarily they come in, other than probably getting that first one, having got no gods before me. But in the list of this, the fifth one, he says, this is the first commandment with promise. When the Israelites came out of Egypt, we read in Exodus 20, they've come out, they've crossed over the Red Sea, and now they find themselves at the foot of Mount Sinai. And God descends there, and there's this fire and smoke, and Moses meets with God up on the mountain, and he gives him the list of not just the Ten Commandments, but other commandments as well. And Moses comes and gives these to the people. And we have it written down in Exodus chapter 20. We also have it written down in Deuteronomy chapter 5. The difference is the one in Exodus 20 And the one in Deuteronomy 5 is there's 40 years in between. We get to Deuteronomy, and Moses is now given his kind of final sermon, his discourse before they're about to move into the promised land. And we have a different audience. Those that were at the mountain, everybody 20 and over, are now dead. The only ones still alive at this point are the ones who were below the age of 20. So it would have been their kids and now those kids. And they're awaiting to go into the promised land, and Moses is going to give them the commands one more time. And we get to chapter 5 of Deuteronomy, and he says, once again, honor your father and mother. For this is the first commandment with a promise, he said, because what he says, he quotes Deuteronomy 5. He doesn't quote Exodus, and he gives this promise, as it does in Deuteronomy, so that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Obeying parents, the more obedient somebody is, the more likely things are going to go well. It just typically happens. The more rebellious, the more problems you're going to have in whatever phase, whatever walk of life, whatever situation you find yourself in. Back then in Old Testament, in fact, in some of the laws, if you see it, children who struck their father and mother, who cursed their father and mother, penalty was death. It was serious stuff to God. But he said, that's where it begins, and that's where you learn all of this stuff, and it plays out in other aspects and phases of our lives. But he said, this is the first commandment with promise, so that it may be well with you and you'll live long on the earth. But it's not just children obeying parents, honoring just their father and mother. Because if you were to jump 17 verses after verse 16 of chapter 5 in Deuteronomy, God gives the bigger picture. Because when we get to verses 29 to 33, right in there, God says, Moses is telling the people, and God says, oh, that the people would have a heart to obey me. And Moses then says, if you keep these commands of the Lord, then he gives the same promise. It will go well with you, and you may live long on the earth. So you see this whole children obeying the parents, it's just the beginning of us obeying God. The reason that these two things are 40 years apart is because the first ones didn't obey. They didn't do it so well, and they never got to go into the promised land. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, he says. Learning to obey parents is training for learning to obey God. I remember my freshman year, some of you seniors, you're about to go off. Some of you are going off to college. Some of you are going to stay here. Some of you are traveling off. I know, Lily, you're going to Ozark, correct? Well, my freshman year at Ozark, what it was, Bible College back then, it was my freshman first semester, and on Wednesday nights, they had a sermon series for those who weren't involved in some of the other local churches yet you could go to. And they were doing the series on the Ten Commandments. I don't remember any of the other sermons except for the one on honoring your father and mother. One of the professors then became preacher in California for a long time. He was named Ron Carter. I remember just one small segment of that sermon. He began to define what it meant to honor. And as he defined the words, he said, you will notice that these are what parents do for their children. Never forget what he said after. He said, to honor your father and your mother is to do for them what they've done for you. You find yourself doing those very same things. Some of you in this room have found yourself having to do those things for mom or dad that they did for you when you were growing up. I had two good examples where I got front row seats of watching somebody honor father and mother. I was in middle school with this first one, and grandma moved in with us. My mom's mom, the one that said about the step on your heart and toes, that one. She had a room right next to mine for the last couple years of her life. I think it was a couple years. It may have been three. It all runs together when you're kids. But I remember mom taking care of her, and little by little, grandma would get things confused. And she would think that I was my uncle and my sister was mom because we were little. And she was with us until stroke took her to the hospital and then never to come back again. But I watched as mom, still maintaining a full-time job and trying to take care of us family, and we all had parts to play in that. But I watched as she and dad took care of her as they honored their mom. Second example is 15 years ago. I watched my wife do the same thing. Her mom came to live with us. Left a hospital in Oklahoma City by ambulance to our house. Went from the hospital bed there to a hospital bed in our bedroom. We moved over and moved the girls, shifted them all around. And for 1 year, her mom came to the house bedridden. Eventually was able to walk again for a little bit, only for a short time, until she died a year later. I got to be front row seats watching somebody take care of and honor their parent and do for them. And I watched my wife do things for her mom that she never thought she would ever do. Some of you in here find yourself in similar roles, or you have. You're taking care of aging parents, and to you, I give you honor for showing honor in that regards. But we all are called to honor our father and mother in one form or fashion, learning to do those things and repaying them that honor and favor that they once have done for us. And yes, I know that sometimes we haven't always had the best parents. Parents. When I talk about parents this morning, we get to verse 4. I'm talking about you, the parent of your kids. I'm talking about grandparents who are having to raise their grandkids or nieces, great nieces, somebody else. Several families here at Washington Avenue I see in doing that. I'm talking about foster parents and adoptive parents who are raising kids that didn't have mom and dad to raise them, and so they've stepped in to take in. So when we talk about parents here, you fit the bill in this. And so Paul gets to verse 4 and he says, fathers. And I think it's interesting. Verse 1, he says, children, obey your parents. And then when he gets to this part, he goes, fathers, don't provoke your children. And my first thought was, why, fathers? And I think probably three reasons that just kind of jump out at me, possibly. Number one, he's already talked about in the section before there is husbands are head of wife, as Christ the head of church. We talk about being head of household. I think, so there's that. I think God gives men the primary responsibility of the family that sometimes they abdicate to somebody else, but God is saying, hey, this is your responsibility. You make sure that it happens. You make sure you bring these kids up and you don't do these things. But the third thing, reason I think is, he's talking to fathers, is us dads sometimes are the one most likely to do the provoking, exasperating of our children. Some of you understand that. When he says, do not provoke your children to anger, or do not exasperate them, that is over in Colossians, which it means sort of the same thing. He's not talking about not doing something that they just don't like or it's going to make them angry about that rule. He's talking about this long-term anger. Don't do things that cause this long-term bitterness and resentment that just seems to linger so much that they lose heart and they just want to give up trying. For you see, sometimes we can ride them so hard and so much, even in our wanting them to be right or doing the right things, we get to the point where they feel like they can't do anything right. Melinda would often quote this verse to me. She did it on many occasions. I'm not sure why, but I remember my exasperation of dealing with my kids at different times there are three things that stand out of things that I've done that I can look back on and go, oh, I remember that. Two of the girls, specific instances with two of them, and then and one that I just kind of did on all of them. But I remember one of them. I was listening. She was on the phone to her mom while mom was out of town, and I had them with me at the house. And she's crying and on the phone, and I remember her hearing saying, I can't do anything right. And I remember thinking, she's right. It hit me. And still, in fact, when I mentioned this the other day at our birthday celebrate, at my birthday thing, and we were talking about it, I was choked up and emotional trying to get through telling that. And she's like, I don't remember that. So it's like some things stick with us more than they stick with others. Although she did remind me of something else that stuck with her. So But he says this, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction in the Lord. Some of your versions might say training, but this whole idea of discipline is for the purpose of training. Discipline and disciple come from the same root word. You can't truly have a disciple without discipline. And as we are raising children into this world, it's going to take discipline as we raise them up to be disciples of Jesus. It starts with this, what we would call external discipline, and eventually moves to internal. Anywhere you have that, the best motivations is not what comes from without, but what comes from within. And as our children learn to grow and to learn to do the things that are right, when they start moving from us making them mind and they learning to mind because of what they've taught us and what has been put in there and what God is putting in them, then it becomes a whole lot easier in this training ground. For you see, home is the training ground. But we don't always like discipline. The writer of Hebrews says, the Lord whom he loves disciplines. Just as a father corrects his child that he loves. But also he says in that same passage, we don't always like it at the time. Rarely do we ever like it when it's in the moment of it. But sometimes we see the results at the end and we like what discipline has done for us, either whether it's been external or what internal and the things we've been able to accomplish. But home is the training ground. And as parents, you are the primary teachers in training your kids to grow in this grace and knowledge of Jesus. It's not the youth ministry department. It's not our children's ministry here. Although we do come alongside you as family. We come alongside you as mom and dad helping teach your children. And sometimes the church becomes that surrogate parents who didn't have mom and dad who taught them these things. And we come alongside of, but it's primarily up to mom and dad. You are preparing your kids for how to live in a family and among people. You're preparing them to live in this world of school and of friends and eventually careers. Deuteronomy 6, the next chapter after what we were talking about, Deuteronomy 6 gives this command. The greatest command, Jesus says, is to love your Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, mind. And right after that, he says, you are to teach these commands to your children. You are to teach them, and when you sit down, when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you rise up, you're to tie them around your hands, put them on the foreheads, write them there, put them on the door frames of your houses, basically saying, anytime, anywhere, every day, all day, always, we are to be training our children what God wants from us. Help them to know the Bible. Get them into that. Let them see you do it. Bring them to church. For you see, home is training ground. And it's not just helping them to learn to live in a family. We're not just preparing them to learn to deal at school and among their careers, but we're also preparing them for eternity. So today, as we kind of calm this thing out, here's my final charge. To those of you that are home, continue. Do what mom and dad say. Even when you don't always like it, and you won't always like it, but it's good for you. Those of you that are about to move out of the house and you're in that phase, choose wisely. For this life, but also the next. Forgive those parental mistakes, because they no doubt have made some. Right, Garrett? Yeah. We all have made those mistakes as parents. Sometimes we need our kids to sometimes just forgive those, because it was training ground for us as being parents. And where parents have faltered, look to God as Father. Look to Jesus as your example. To all of us, no matter how old we are, find a way to show honor to your parents. Some of you are old enough that you don't have those parents around anymore, but you can still find ways to honor those around you in that regard. To the parents that are here, and remember what I said in parents, any of the roles that you have in playing, remember this, sometimes home is a playground. Too often it's a battleground, but it is always a training ground. Maybe you're here and you've gone, ooh, I've not done so well in this. Well, you can start anew. You can just start from where you are. You can begin again. You can do, if you didn't do so well with your kids, you can begin to do better with grandkids. But let's face it, once again, parenting is hard. It really is. But so is growing up. Especially in this day and age. But remember, we're in this dance together. Parents and children alike, as we all of us, are the children of God. As we learned to walk with Him and to do what is right in His eyes. Let me pray for you. Father, this morning as we just close out this, I do pray for the different ones. I pray for those kids at home. Sometimes it's a little rocky there. And sometimes it's a lot of yelling or screaming. Sometimes it's just a lot of doing our own thing. Lord, I pray that you will help these kids to do the right thing in obeying mom and dad. I pray for those that are about to be out of the house, trying to make that transition of just becoming an adult. That's not an easy one. Learning to be independent, making your own decisions, trying to remember what they've been taught and yet make some of their own decisions on their own and hoping that they're the right ones. Lord, I pray for some of us who maybe we're dealing with parents as they've aged, or maybe they're not old, but we're out of the house. Maybe we've not shown enough respect for those who brought us up. I pray that they will find ways. And Lord, those of us who are here find ourselves in a parental role. Pray that you will give them the strength to raise their children in you. Disciplining them, instructing them in this training ground of this family you've put them together in. I pray for single parents having to try to be mom and dad. I thank you for others who stepped in and stepped up. Lord, today we give honor to those who have gone above and beyond. And Lord, all of us here, we're all in this training ground of your children. May we continue to stay in your word, looking at what is right and putting it into practice, the things that we learn each time we open it. So Father, today, on this day, may we as parents and his children seek to give honor to the other. And we put this in your hands. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thank you, grads and parents and family that are being here. As you go out, may you just enjoy Cats in the Cradle.
Well, hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to Worship Experience at Washington Avenue Christian Church, where real people experience real grace. We're thrilled that you have chosen to spend a little bit of your Sunday morning with us. And if this is your first time, or if you have been viewing us for just a couple of weeks, would you do us a favor and text the word welcome to the number at the bottom of your screen, and we would love to get in touch with you. Now, if you need prayer or have any kind of concerns, you can text pray to that exact same number that's on your screen. And maybe you made the decision today to follow Jesus. We are so, so excited about that, and we would love to celebrate that with you. So go ahead and text believe to that number, and somebody will be in touch with you to celebrate and to help you find your next steps soon. We're just real people experiencing real grace here at Washington Avenue Christian Church, and we're looking forward to seeing you next week.